Lord God, open each of us up to be filled with your Spirit, that we may know the joy of knowing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do sit down. Well, last night, some of us had the privilege of being at a very special party, and it was a party for our Christchurch East Greenwich Football Club football team, who were celebrating the end of a really amazing first season as a team. So in the last 9 months, we've started from nothing effectively and become a lean, mean, fighting machine. Well, some more lean than others. And they had a great victory yesterday, 5-0 against Chatsworth United. So it was a really great atmosphere. There were awards given, lots of fun, lots of celebration. And that kind of reminded me of the sheer joy and exuberance that we hear in the reading, the gospel reading this morning, as Mary sings this incredible song of celebration and praise, because it's so full of joy. Those words are so full of joy, and they're exuberant, and they're truly authentic as well. They're all about the wonder of God at work in the world. A joy completely inspired by the Holy Spirit, and a joy which has inspired others through the ages. So let's just remind ourselves in what circumstances Mary sang and shouted out that amazing song, which we now, as many of you all know, call the Magnificat. Well, the angel Gabriel had appeared to her and told her that she'd been chosen by God and that she would conceive a child who'd be named Jesus. This child who would reign over the house of Jacob forever and whose kingdom would never end. And after asking, how can this possibly happen to me since I am a virgin? Mary's response is this: I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary really shows us how to be a disciple of God, how to listen and hear God, how to be willing to follow the path God has in store for her, however difficult, and to be joyful. Now, as part of the conversation, the angel Gabriel also reveals to Mary that her cousin Elizabeth is also expecting a baby. So, of course, what does Mary do? She rushes off with this exciting news to share it with her cousin. It's a really human part of the story, isn't it? All of us, when we hear good, exciting news, want to share it. It was like that at the football party last night. You know, great to win 5-0, but if you can go and have a party afterwards and all share and pat each other's backs, it kind of makes it even better. When she got there and greeted Elizabeth, something amazing happened. The baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy, and Elizabeth was filled anew with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth cried out in a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Maybe not what anyone, including Mary, would have expected, because here she is, betrothed but as yet unmarried, pregnant, on the doorstep of a much older relative, and gets that amazing response, a greeting acknowledging that Mary is indeed blessed because she has willingly responded to God. And then Mary sings her song. This amazing song, which has echoed down the generations, a song of intimate response to God's call on her life, delight in her willingness to follow God's countercultural call, a song which praises and honors God for his mercy and righteousness as she remembers his promise to the people of God, to Abraham and his descendants forever. This song contains timeless themes of the majesty of God, proclaiming God's mercy and compassion, pointing to the difference God makes to Mary's life and the difference God makes to the life of the world, turning things upside down, lifting up the lowly, filling the hungry with good things. This is Mary's song of joy. When we were on a family holiday in Australia, quite a long time ago, our sons were something like, I can't quite remember, but something like 8, 10, 12, 14. We had a very frightening car accident. We had a tire blowout while we were driving down a dirt track, and we were in a four-wheel drive car, and we rolled over onto the roof, and then back. Well, when I managed to climb out of the window, and I could see that we were all still alive, even if bruised and battered and very shocked and shaken, all I can remember was I had a real desire to sing a hymn of praise. It felt really unexpected. If I'd been asked to imagine how I'd feel in those circumstances, I don't think I'd have thought. I just wanted to sing, but I did. My joy was in our rescue, if you like. My sense of God's protection on us felt very powerful. There was a real sense that we had all been saved and rescued, and I just wanted to sing. It felt like there was a sense of that Holy Spirit welling up inside of me because of the sheer joy and relief, really. That is the joy of the Spirit, and it's the joy of the gospel of the good news, knowing that we have been rescued corporately from all that's gone wrong with the world. And that joy, the joy of the gospel, has been our theme this Lent. A lot of us have been sharing in small groups from this book, Joy of the Gospel by Paula Gooder, which is based on the Pope's encyclical called Evangelii Gaudium. I'm not sure that's quite the Latin pronunciation, but it means joy of the gospel in Latin. And it's a book that I found really inspiring as we've gone through Lent, as we've thought, how does the joy of the gospel impact on us and on how we reach out with that joy to those around us in word and in deed, in our actions and in how we live our lives? We're thinking particularly today about how being filled with the Spirit stirs up that sense of need to share the joy and wonder of all that God has done for us. Thinking again about our willingness to respond like Mary did, to share what we know, the exciting news we've been given in word and deed. Now, of course, Mary's call to be pregnant as a young unwed mother or mother-to-be was really countercultural. It didn't fit in with her local society and expectations. But nevertheless, she rejoiced in that special task she'd been given. And I suspect that some of us may feel that being a Christian today in our society is countercultural, that maybe people don't want to hear the good news that we want to share, to see our joy in what we've discovered in our sense of being rescued or knowing God's saving love in our lives. Some of us may fear being mocked in a society where Jesus and Christ are more often used as swear words than in worship. So the question, as we come to the end of this Lent series on the joy of the gospel, is, are we prepared to willingly respond to God like Mary did? Will we joyfully dare to share the good news that we know, even if it's countercultural? Are we prepared to stand out and do something that will make us different, that might mean we don't quite fit in? I've got Tim's permission to share this story. But my husband, Tim, went to collect one of our cars, which is a bit of a giveaway that we've got more than one, sorry about that, from the garage where he'd been having some work done last week. And we know the garage guy, he's a one-man garage, very well. And he said to Tim, how's the vicarship? What's she up to? She's busy as usual. And Tim said, if you want to see her, why don't you come along to church? Why don't you come on Easter Sunday? And he said, I don't know, there's some big motorbike thinking, I can't remember what it is now, but some big motorbike thing happening, motorbikes or church? Well, anyway, Tim said to me afterwards, he said, I was quite surprised with myself. You know, that felt quite bold for me to actually sort of say to someone, why not come along? Why not do something like just talk about coming to church rather than going to the whatever the motorbike thing was, which I can't remember. It's that sense of just being, it's very simple. It's not anything clever. It's just being prepared to say what it is that means something to us as a word. Maybe it's saying we help at the food bank, or just the witness that we have wherever we are, in our work, at the school gates, in volunteering for things like the food bank, the winter night shelter, people doing things like the East Greenwich Legal Advice Clinic. It's in those things where we show in our actions and sometimes say with our words what it is that means something, what it is that gives us joy in our lives. I know it sometimes feels easier not to say anything because it can make us feel a bit uncomfortable and embarrassed. And I know it's easier for me because I'm a sort of professional and I have a sign around my neck most of the time which tells everyone. So it kind of feels sometimes easier, sometimes more difficult. But I have got some news for you, and that is that people, on the whole, do really want to hear. If they're friends, they want to know what excites you and what makes you joyful. And in one of the Gospels, Jesus looks at the crowds of people before him and says this, they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And I don't know about you, but often when I look at people in the world who don't seem to have any big picture, no sort of context to put their lives in, no hope, I think, who are we not to share the good news and the joy that we've discovered with those around us? Mary talked about God turning things upside down, lifting up the lowly, filling the hungry with good things. That's the full picture of this good news. And it is for each of us personally, so that we flourish in our relationship with God and so that we can make a difference in the world. It's for others too. It's dependent on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, on our willingness to respond, our willingness to share in words and deed. And it's dependent on prayer. Because prayer, of course, is at the heart of it all. Mary, undoubtedly, would have lived a very prayerful life steeped in the scriptures. She knew completely what the angel Gabriel was speaking about. In her song, Mary's song, she echoes the song of Hannah when she found out she was having Samuel. She echoes the songs sung by many women through the Bible, celebrating the joy of God at work in the world. Prayer is at the heart of it all. And I just wanted to share very briefly that is the inspiration for a movement, a prayer movement called Thy Kingdom Come, which you may have heard of because we've done something about it in this church over the last few years. It's a global prayer movement that invites Christians around the world specifically to pray for more people to come to know Jesus and the work of God in the world. We're invited to it as churches, as families, as individuals. And we're encouraged to put on events and obviously to pray. During the 9 days of this Thy Kingdom Come, it runs from Ascension Day, which this year is Thursday the 30th of May, to Pentecost Sunday, which this year is Sunday, I think it's the 11th of June. Someone can check if you've got a calendar out for me. So I think it's the 30th of May to the 11th of June. And during that time, that 9 days of prayer, which has been for many years or centuries, a sort of traditional time to particularly pray as the church remembers those first disciples waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so far this year, we are planning a flower festival on the Saturday the 1st of June called Flower Power, the work of the Holy Spirit through flowers. And on Saturday the 8th of June, we're planning a parish prayer walk. Those are two things that you could participate in, ways that we can pray and bless our neighbourhood, ways we can invite people into our church to celebrate the beauty of flowers. But there may be other things that you're called to do. You may be thinking, actually, there's some prayer event that I'd like to put on in this church. If you feel like that, do come and speak to me. We're also invited to specifically think of five people that we'd like to pray for during that time. And there are different ways that you can do that, and I'll be talking more about it near the time, but you can start to think about it now. I've ordered some prayer journals, which have space and encouragement and little verses and thoughts for each day, which you might like to think about having one of. You can get the Thy Kingdom Come app on your phone, whether it's an Apple or an Android, and that leads you through the same process through the app. There are lots of different things that you might be being called to do which fit in and grow out of this idea of the joy of the gospel, of being filled by the Spirit and through prayer. So the invitation is for us all to pray, Thy Kingdom come. Amen.